It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today. Hello. Let's see if we can fix this. Hello. All right, maybe that'll work. It's probably Tuesday, October 18th, 2022. Sorry for yesterday and Friday and just in general. Like I said, it's been really rocky lately. I've been having, you know, first I was just in a bad way mentally and was just really depressed. But then as work started to get busier, I didn't have time to be depressed, but then that meant I also was not having time to fix up and do the show. So I've decided, after meditating on it and writing about it in my journal, I think I'm going to record the show before I go to bed for the day next day and upload it to SDF, or to a non-radio, I guess, technically. So anyway, I haven't forgotten about Anon Radio or the show or you guys or Tobe and the Dubious Goals Committee. Cheers every goddamn day at 1930 UTC, just here on anonradio.net. But it's just, I'm having a hard time with the workday, and so I can't seem to pull it off. So anyway, I just wanted to give you the heads up. I'm going to start doing the show, or having the show more readily available, but it's just the timing of when I record it and stuff will be a little wonky until things get better. So anyway, you know, that's how it goes, I guess. Let's see.
C'est la vie.
Is that what they say? I don't know. That's what I guess they say. My pal Daniel is here too.
Such is life.
I agree.
Such is life.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get started the way we pretty much always do. And that, my friends, is with the world news.
World news.
Ah, that works too. Oh, yeah. If you want to catch these stories, but you don't want to listen to the whole show, or you're already tired of the nonsense, you can go to tx0.org/1do. That's tx0.org/1delta0. Here, Daniel will tell us the name.
https://tx0.org/1d0.
That's right. And that's all lowercase. So 1D0, 1Delta0, all lowercase. All right. Away we go. First, we start off in Paris, where there was shock by a murder of Lola, a 12-year-old, found in a box. Parisians have been stunned by the shocking murder of a 12-year-old schoolgirl, whose body was found on Friday in a container in the courtyard of her apartment building. The girl, named Lola, had spent the day normally at school, but her father raised the alert when she failed to return home. Later in the evening, the presence of transparent plastic packing box was reported at the foot of the apartment building. Lola's body was found squashed inside the container, hidden by a covering of material. Her hands and feet were tied, and she was reported to have a gash on her neck, though the autopsy this weekend found she had died of asphyxiation. Two post-it notes were also on her feet, one saying 0 and the other 1. The numerals. Earlier on Saturday, police arrested the main suspect in the killing, a 24-year-old Algerian-born woman, named in the press as Dabia B. The woman was identifiable on security video taken at the apartment building, in which she was seen entering the main door on Friday afternoon in the company of Lola. Later, she was seen leaving the building, pulling a container, and then acting incoherently on the street. One eyewitness said she asked for help in return for money from an organ trafficking affair. However, police said they didn't believe this was a serious lead. Their most plausible theory is that Dabia B, with no fixed abode, is psychologically unstable and that her act was gratuitous. Also in custody is a 43-year-old man who's believed to have ferried Davia B. and the container in his car. Police think that having been driven by him around the Paris suburbs, Davia B. returned to the apartment building, where her sister is also a resident. There, the two sisters are reported to have had a noisy row before Davia B. left again, this time without the container. She spent the night in a flat in the suburb of Bois Colombes, where she was picked up the next day. This is where having our friend Thomas can come in handy, I think.
Bois Colombes.
Police have opened an investigation for the murder of a person under 15 years of age, accompanied by acts of torture and barbarity. Davia B. is expected to be placed under judicial investigation and kept in custody. So, it's really tragic, but what's going on there today. In Nigeria, at least 600 people are dead and thousands have been evacuated. The death toll from floods in Nigeria this year has increased to 603 as local authorities race to provide relief to hundreds of thousands of people being evacuated from their submerged homes. More than 1.3 million people have been displaced by the disaster, which has affected people across 33 of Nigeria's 36 states. At least 3,400 square kilometers, or 1,300 square miles, of land has been inundated, worsening fears of food supply disruptions. Conflict has already threatened production in the northwest and central regions, which produce most of what the country eats. President Muhammadu Buhari directed all concerned to work for the restoration of normalcy, according to a statement issued by his office. Nigeria experiences annual flooding, especially in its coastal areas, but this year's are the worst in more than a decade. Authorities blame the disaster on the release of excess water at the Lago Dam in neighboring Cameroon and on unusual rainfalls. Al Jazeera's Ahmed Idris reporting from Yenagoa, the capital of Bayelsa State in the southern Nigeria, said people are fleeing to the city in hopes of getting help from authorities. The bad news is it's been pouring down for the past few days and the rains are expected to keep coming for the next few days, Idris said. So, it'll be a real shame there, or it's going to just be tough there for a while. such as the world we're in. A lot of tough stuff going on. I'll have a map for you here soon that shows the flooding, or at least the scale of the flooding. And then we've got more flooding to talk about. It's almost like the environment and the climate's changing. Anyway, if you go to tx0.org/1d1, so that's 1 delta 1,
https://tx0.org/1d1.
There we go. All right, and that'll give you a map that I think, or a little graphic that I think is quite useful in looking at and thinking about the flooding that's happening in Nigeria. Talk about more flooding and just kind of sadness here, and kind of a gaff. I don't even know if it's a gaff. It's just kind of it's kind of cold. It's difficult to understand what made President Joe Biden bring up Pakistan's nuclear program during a rambling speech at a reception in Los Angeles on Thursday. Speaking to local Democrats about foreign issues and domestic concerns, he mentioned Pakistan twice, first in relation to China, then turning to this country's nuclear program and observing that Pakistan's one of the most dangerous nations in the world, which has nuclear weapons without any cohesion. For a major foreign leader, Mr. Biden used shockingly undiplomatic language in a public forum. Moreover, his assertion that there exists no cohesion regarding his nuclear arsenal is far from the truth. Suddenly, these were not even off-the-cuff remarks, and an official White House transcript indicate he meant what he said, eliciting strong reactions from Prime Minister Shahbaz Sharif and Foreign Minister Bilal Bhutto Zardari. Considering the gist of the rest of his comments in Los Angeles, focusing on America's growing and dangerous rivalry with Russia and China, perhaps the comment was a veiled threat at isolating Pakistan if it continued to maintain links with Moscow and Beijing. If so, it would be a repeat of the either you're with us or against us ultimatum issued by George W. Bush following September 11th. Whatever his intentions, it was irresponsible of the American president to use bloc politics to make unsubstantiated comments about their nukes. Fact is that in the recent past, Pakistan-U.S. ties have witnessed a cold phase. So, anyway, I just wanted to mention that because Pakistan is still reeling from the huge floods that have happened. They've pleaded for help, but the United States wants to continue to blow stuff up. Of course, when we're talking about blowing stuff up, you know we're talking about Ukraine right now. At least six reported dead in Russia after a military plane hits building. A Russian military jet has crashed into a residential building shortly after taking off near the border with Ukraine, sparking a major fire that has reportedly left at least six people dead and six missing. Video and photographs uploaded to social media on Monday showed a residential building engulfed in flames in Yesk, a port and resort town in Russia located just south of the Ukrainian city of Mariupol, across the Sea of Azov. The Su-34, the Sierra Unicorn 34, fighter bomber, crashed into the building shortly after takeoff at the nearby Yuzhny airbase, the Russian Defense Ministry said in a statement. The cause of the crash was an engine fire that prevented the jet, which can be used on bombing runs or to engage other aircraft, from gaining altitude. The plane, which the ministry said was on a training flight, was carrying a payload that detonated after impact, preventing firefighters from reaching the fire for some time. Video shows at least five stories of residential flats engulfed in flames. Both pilots managed to eject from the jet before it struck the building. A photograph showed at least one pilot ejected from the plane before impact, catapulting into the sky and deploying an orange parachute as a massive fireball exploded into the sky behind him. Interfax reported that at least six people had died, 19 were injured, and six remained missing after the crash. "It fell right over us. Everything is in black smoke," a witness said in a video shared by the channel. "Mom, do you understand? 10 meters, and that could have been us." The crash came on the same day as Russia launched a sustained air attack against Kyiv and other Ukrainian cities. If we jump over there to that, the BBC has this report. Russia's we switch over to Al Jazeera here. A new wave of deadly Russian airstrikes on Ukraine has killed more than 25 people and wounded over 100, according to authorities in Kyiv, in the most extensive attack since the early days of the war. The current strikes, which began on October 10th, have targeted at least 10 regions across the country and have been carried out using Russian missiles. As well as Iranian-made drones, Ukrainian authorities have said. Swarms of explosive-laden unmanned aircraft, called kamikaze drones, targeted Kyiv on Monday, killing at least four people and targeting energy facilities. Among the victims was a young couple expecting a baby in 3 months. The Ukrainian Air Force said it was destroyed at least 37 drones in one day. For their part, officials in Tehran deny supplying Russia with the weapons. So, what do we need to know? Unlike drones that return to base once missiles are launched, kamikaze or suicide drones are destroyed in an attack. Al Jazeera defense analyst Alex Gatopoulos said the munitions can hover above an area to identify a target before diving to destroy it. Like cruise missiles, they can strike targets hundreds of kilometers away, but cruise missiles are expensive, and Gatopoulos said kamikaze drones are cheaper, yet precise alternative. I don't really like the use of the term kamikaze. That kind of harkens back to World War II, I think. I don't know. Kamikaze also means divine wind or spirit wind. Divine wind special attack unit were part of the Japanese special attack units of military aviators who flew suicide attacks for the Empire of Japan against Allied naval vessels in the closing stages of the Pacific Campaign of World War II, intending to destroy warships more effectively than with conventional air attacks. About 3,800 kamikaze pilots died during the war, and more than 7,000 naval personnel were killed by kamikaze attacks. Kamikaze aircraft were essentially pilot-guided explosive missiles, purpose-built or converted from conventional aircraft. Pilots would attempt to crash their aircraft into enemy ships in what's called a body attack, or a TIE Atari, and an aircraft loaded with bombs, torpedoes, and other explosives. Only about 19% of kamikaze attacks were successful. The Japanese considered the goal of damaging or sinking a large number of ships to be a just reason for the suicide attacks. Kamikaze was more accurate than conventional attacks and often caused more damage. So anyway, that's just kind of what's going on there. So that's why I think it's calling them kamikaze is kind of tone deaf. All right. One last thing to mention about the Ukraine war. Russia's exchanged 108 Ukrainian women held as prisoners of war for 110 Russian captives held by Ukraine. Of the 37 women, 37 were reportedly captured after surrendering at the siege of the Azovstal steelworks in Mariupol, which ended in May. Most of the Russian freed are sailors from merchant ships held in Ukraine. They also include members of pro-Russian separatist military units from the Donbass region. Daylight photos were released of the Ukrainian women boarding coaches in an unspecified area, and later of them arriving after dark in government-held territory in the southern region of Zaporizhia. The freed Ukrainians were taken to safety in coaches, and they have photos of them. The Ukrainian Presidency Chief of Staff, Andriy Yermak, confirmed on social media that the 108 women had been released in the first all-female exchange. According to Mr. Pushlin, a top Russian-backed official in the breakaway part of Ukraine's Donetsk region, the prisoners freed by Ukraine are 80 soldiers and 30 service personnel. So that is what's happening there. It is about time to play a song. There's just so much news going on. How about we do... I've got an idea for something here. So let's try this. Let's get a story from Ethiopia real quick from AfricaNews.com.
Ethiopia has ordered banks to deny foreign currency to businesses importing non-priority goods in an effort to show up dwindling foreign reserves in one of Africa's major economies. The move effectively freezes the import of dozens of items such as alcohol and cars, as businesses must register with banks to obtain the foreign currency needed to bring goods into the country. In a letter to Ethiopia's central bank, the Ministry of Finance said it had become necessary to restrict the use of foreign currency to import food, medicine and medical equipment and raw materials for manufacturing. No recent public figures are available regarding Ethiopia's reserves of foreign currency. In late March, the National Bank of Ethiopia indicated reserves had fallen to $1.6 billion at the end of 2021, covering less than 2 months' worth of imports, according to local newspaper, The Reporter.
That was from our friends there at AfricaNews.com. And it's about Ethiopia denying some foreign currency to businesses importing non-priority goods. So currency is always an interesting, Forex and currency stuff is always very interesting. All right, well, let's play a song. This is a remix of Duvet from Boa, but it's called Lane from Caffeine.
And you don't seem to...
I'm Present day. Present time.
There we go. That was Lane from Caffeine, a cover of Duvet from Boa, which was the opening theme song for Serial Experiments Lane. One of the best, one of my favorite animes. I like to watch, it's 13 episodes. Yoshitoshi Abe made a whole bunch of anime I really like. And also Yasuyuki Ueda. I don't know how to say it. I'm not good at pronouncing it, but anyway. And Chiaki Konaka. They're, it's all great. I really, really... in 1999, I think, yeah, in 1999, I went to, a FreeBSD users group meeting, the HOFUG, Houston FreeBSD user group meeting, and afterwards went to a guy's place. I don't remember. I only knew his internet name, and even then, I forget it now because it was 40 or 30 something years ago, probably now. But the important part was that he had what was it, Element? Oh, what is that, Window Manager? Anyway, I forget. But anyway, he had he didn't have GNOME, he didn't have KDE, he had some other window manager, and he had Serial Experiments Lane that he had downloaded off of the internet. Piracy. I had no... he downloaded it, and he had gotten... he was watching it, and so we watched, like, the last, like, 4 hours of the show, or 4 hours of it. And it just blew my mind, and I really loved it a lot. So anyway, sorry to go off on a side note there. It's just, I really, really enjoyed it. And then, I mean, if you like that, there's so many, there's lots of other ones, you know, like Technolize and Welcome to NHK. Anyway, We'll just stop. Don't get me stop going off. We've only got about 5 minutes to go before the Dubious Skulls Committee with Tobe happens. Show that airs every goddamn day at 19:30 UTC. And on Tuesday, we've got internet noises from DJ Leon G. After that, at 20 hours. So stick around, check out the schedule at anonradio.net, or press the equal sign and come. And if you want to talk and come and hang out and do all that stuff, all you need to do is SSH over to sdf.org. Once you're logged in, just type com, that's C-O-M, Charlie Oscar Mike, press enter, and then press G for go to, and then type anon radio, all lowercase, all one word. Once you do that, you will be in the anon radio room with all the cool people. Okay, well, here's the last couple of stories here for you today. First, confiscated ivory from elephants killed more than 30 years ago has turned up in recent raids, say scientists. The tusks were once part of a stockpile seized from poachers and held in sealed containers by the government of Burundi. In this study, researchers used DNA and carbon dating techniques to show that some of the stored material is now in the hand of smugglers. The government of Burundi has not responded to a BBC request for comment. The authors say seizures should be destroyed and not stored. Between 2007 and 2016, some 100,000 elephants were killed for their tusks in different parts of Africa. The study examined samples from four major seizures made by law enforcement between 2017 and 2019. Using techniques to measure the presence of carbon-14, the researchers found that most of the captured ivory was from elephants killed within the previous 3 years. However, ivory from one seizure was primarily from elephants killed more than 30 years ago. Markings on these tusks indicate they came from a supposedly well-guarded stockpile held by the government of Burundi. The trade in ivory has been banned since 1987 in Burundi, one of the world's poorest countries. In 2004, scientists from Wildlife Trade Experts Traffic International examined the stores, which comprised almost 84 tons, made up of 15,000 tusks. Custom seals were then affixed to the seven containers holding the ivory. This is just, it's just so sad. However, since 2015, a number of seizures in different parts of the world have had markings showing Burundi as the origin. The BBC has approached the Environmental Ministry for comment, but has not had any answers. So, the country's just keeping quiet, but their ivory's out on the market. In Milwaukee, Wisconsin, USA, Milwaukee police say they are investigating a viral social media video depicting a white man with one of his hands around the neck of a frightened black man while calling 911 about a neighbor's stolen bicycle. A police spokesperson on Monday said officers know the 62-year-old white man's identity but didn't release his name, saying the investigation into the case was ongoing and that its findings would be forwarded to state prosecutors for review of potential charges. The spokesperson would not confirm or deny the name widely circulated on social media as belonging to the white man seen on the video with a hand wrapped around the neck of a man aged 24, black man aged 24, who is riding a bicycle that doesn't match the color of the one the man purports was stolen. But the video of the October 10th confrontation in question shows the white man giving his address, and public records verify that a man by the same name and the same age as the one identified widely online is listed as a resident of that address. That man didn't respond to numerous requests for comment from The Guardian. So these historically are pretty bad. The guy says first he says he stole it, then he says his friend stole it. It's a video on Twitter. We won't play it because it's just kind of noise there. And we're down to the last minute. So, the only other thing to mention is radioactive waste found at Missouri Elementary School. Not quite what you'd expect. There's significant radioactive contamination at an elementary school in suburban St. Louis, where nuclear weapons were produced during World War II, according to a new report by environmental investigation consultants. The report by Boston Chemical Data Corp confirmed fears of contamination of Jana Elementary School. The new report is based on samples taken in August. So, there you go. The waste dumped at sites near the St. Louis International Airport, next to the creek that flows to the Missouri River, is what caused the problem. Anyway, stick around, and thanks for listening. I'll have a show tomorrow, too. But, like I said, it's just hard not doing them live. All right. Love you. Bye.
7, 6.